I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're thankful for the news update at the top of the hour, and welcome back to hour number two and the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. We've got a lot coming up in this hour, including we'll talk to Navi more about his houseboat experience and how you and your family can get a look at the cost involved and what you need to plan for. It's been about 10 years since I was down there, and Navi, I think you said it was 11 years ago that you were there, so
Correct. Both
of us about the same. And it's probably changed a little bit since I was there, but the preparation is, I'm sure, mostly the same for making a trip like that. And we'll also talk with Andrea from Alta about summer activities as they get ready to ramp up their summer season. You want to talk about a way of getting away from people in this summer season and getting away from the heat. There's a perfect idea with a lot of options up there, so we'll talk more about it. Want to start this hour, though, with Bruce Johnson, who is Aquatics Invasive Species Statewide Operations Lieutenant. I always chuckle when I read those titles, Bruce, because I don't know how you get that on a business card.
Really fine print.
I'll bet it is. I told you before we jumped into the conversation here that Navi just returned from Lake Powell, and there is or are some laws, I guess, that are to take effect next week. They were passed in the 2020 legislative session that we're trying to avoid big surprises for boaters out there. The first of them is a mandatory $20 fee for all motorized boats not registered in Utah. Tell us about that.
Correct. That was in response to a lot of boaters that were coming out of state and utilizing our state waters, and we were dealing with those, and so they decided to create this $20 fee to help us offset the costs of administering the AIS program for those non-resident boaters. And in addition to the $20 fee, there's an online education requirement where they go online, take our orientation education regarding AIS and boating, and then upon the completion of that, they can print out a certificate, which they can place on their dashboard of their vehicle, in their boat, and even keep it saved on their cell phones, so they can provide a record of the online certification education as well as payment of that fee when they're contacted by our staff.
Hmm. I was thinking about this the other day, and we're not the only ones in the West. Matter of fact, I think other Western states have already been doing this if you're bringing your boat from Utah, aren't they?
Correct. Other states have a non-resident fee. We are about in the middle for cost. We didn't want to overly burden the non-residents. We want to see them continue to come to Utah and play here and utilize our wonderful resources. We've wanted to be reasonable in that.
Makes sense, though, to try and recover some cost. Navi was down there on a houseboat, which always makes me wonder, how often do you have to, because it's not a small task, but how often do they have to pull houseboats out of Lake Powell and do cleaning of the hull and everything else?
We've seen houseboats that are being pulled out every couple of years to clean them, scrub them down, and we've seen boats that have sat there for many more years than that. The problem in doing that is the longer they sit, the more infested they become, and those systems become even more plugged up and fouled, which then costs those boat owners even more money to try and clean before it ruins the systems in
Yeah, Navi, did you see any signs of quagga when you were down there?
No, not at all, Tim. Yeah, it was, you know, just beautiful water and, yeah, nothing for me.
I just wonder if you did, you know, a quick inspection of the outside or the underside of the boat as long as you were snorkeling. And sometimes when the water is receded, you can see these mussels or the remnants of them on the slick rock down there.
Yeah, I didn't see any, and I did go under the boat. I actually went down to see if we damaged a prop, but I was snorkeling a lot, and I didn't notice any. I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at it, yes.
That's all right. But Lake Powell, and we've talked about this before, Bruce, Lake Powell's still the only place that we've verified anyway. We've got quaggas, correct?
Correct. Lake Powell's the only infested water in Utah.
All right, let's talk about another law that's going to kick up here next Wednesday that requires anyone transporting a boat on a Utah highway, which, by the way, includes any public road, street, bridge, not just on the freeways. But you have to remove all your drain plugs from the boat and drain all the water from your live wells, bilges, ballast tanks, and other similar compartments on this watercraft. You would hope people were already doing that. It's sad that we had to have a law to make sure people are aware.
Correct. Yeah, it makes sense for all the boat owners to drain all that extra weight and water before they would transport. But, yeah, we wanted to make sure we put this into place. All the drain plugs, not just the rear drain plugs that are normally associated back by the motor, but also in the wakeboard boats, there's the center drain plug that a lot of times will hold water as well, and many boat owners don't realize that that exists. We're asking them to make sure that's removed, and we're also asking our boat owners, another precaution for those Lake Powell boaters is the sea strainer. That will tend to collect some shells from the quagga mussels, and so if the boat owners can remove those, it would make their process with our staff far quicker.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Since this is a law now, there is also a Class C misdemeanor for not pulling the plugs.
Correct. We've had some boat owners who have failed to understand the importance of the drain plug and especially the water. That water is one of our greatest threats. When the boat goes to another water potentially, it doesn't take much water at all to dump the veligers, the juvenile form of quagga mussels, into that fresh water at a new reservoir. And so in their studies, they found as many as 5,000 veligers in a single liter of water. So we want all the boaters to remove as much water as possible from their watercraft before transporting.
I think it's important, too, when we say watercraft, and Navi, you're fully aware of this, but you guys had paddle boards down there, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Inflatable paddle boards that we roll up to bring home, yes.
And those, I guess, Bruce, now would be qualified as watercraft, correct?
Correct. Our saying is if it floats, it's a boat. And so any of the inflatable watercraft, the inflatable canoes, kayaks, the hard plastic kayaks and canoes, they are all subject to these rules and required to stop at our mandatory inspection stations and receive that inspection. And that begins the dry time, which is required in Utah if you're not going to get a professional decontamination.
Hey, and that includes the trailers.
Yes, it's surprising how much debris, mud, invasive water plants, the Eurasian milfoil and other wildlife that can be harbored on a boat trailer.
Yeah.
Tell me how long the dry time is.
For our summer months, for the June, July, and August, it's a 7-day dry time. In the winter months, for December, January, and February, it is 30 days. And then the other shoulder months, the spring and the fall, it's an 18-day dry time. However, if you have a complex boat, the ballast tank boats, the watercraft, the wakeboard boats, and the cabin cruisers that have internal systems like generators, air conditioners, those are considered complex, and those require a 30-day dry time as well.
Mm. If you're doing cleaning, is it the chemicals that matter or the temperature of the water mostly?
It is the temperature. We found that it varies. It's got to be a minimum of 105 to 110 degrees for so many minutes, and then up to 140 degrees for an instant kill of the quagga mussel. And so the other issue that we have with professional decontaminations of watercraft is the exposure and time of the water, as well as a complete fill of those ballast tanks and several of those boats. That can be many thousands of gallons of water that we're trying to fill into boats to make sure they're clean. So we try to do the best we can without affecting the boater's time and impeding in the rest of their activities.
Yeah. Hopefully we've done a good job on this program to help get your word out. I know you guys have done some amazing work here, but what's the one thing people don't think about or don't know? I had a conversation with somebody after the last time we talked about it on this program, and they were like, I don't see what the big deal is. And I said, have you ever seen pictures of infestations of these mussels? And they had not. So I pulled it up while we were sitting right there and showed it to them. And people are amazed if they, you know, because these are so tiny. They just have no idea what kind of a problem this leads to.
Yeah, and we've been lucky. We've held off further infestation across the state, and that's just due to the absolute hardworking staff we have across the state and their diligence. They're so small, the quagga mussels are, that people don't see the threat, and they look at water, and since they cannot see a visible threat in the water of the boat, they don't see that importance. And if they saw the aftermath, like you were saying, with the pictures of how it can plug off motors and water lines, and not just the effect that it has on boaters and anglers, but if we were to get an infestation along our Wasatch Front reservoirs, it is $25 million a year.
Crazy.
Potentially more. And it also will affect everybody. The drinking water, the water access when it plugs up, water control structures and irrigation lines. Then I think you'd see people have a different reaction. But clean, drain, and dry is the most important thing we can ask of all the boaters across Utah.
Yeah, just know these new laws take effect on July 1, and if you're coming from out of state and you're listening to in one of the 11 or 12 western states that can hear this program on Saturday morning, you're going to need a $20 tag and to take a little online course and then carry a certificate with you. I love the website, STD of the Sea, or you can go to the division website, which is just wildlife.utah.gov. Bruce Johnson, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into this conversation with Navi about what it took to get the family down on a houseboat at Lake Powell. Both of us have been away from it for about a decade. I'm sure the pricing has changed a little bit, but the planning probably not changed all that much. We'll do that next, so stay with us.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
And our thanks again to Bruce Johnson for joining us there to talk about quagga and some law changes in the state of Utah that you need to be aware of at the beginning of next week. If you're coming from out of state in particular, with some Class C misdemeanors now attached to little things like not pulling the plugs on your boat when you leave Lake Powell. Navidomskis didn't pull any boats home. He actually went down, and we did this the last time we were there. We did take a power boat and towed it behind the houseboat, which is a great way to go because you can find a spot up in one of the canyons, Navi, and then you can jump on the speedboat and get around in a hurry and play on some water toys and some other things. It just takes a lot of extra fuel if you're going to do it that way.
Right. One of the options with a houseboat that was available is one that comes with a port, a little bay for your jet skis, and then you can gas from the line. Yeah. But we just went with just mad-powered vehicles like paddle boards and things. In fact, I'm a big guy with quiet. I'm not a big fan of the boats, frankly.
Yeah. Well, and it is bothersome because it's so huge. People that have never been to Lake Powell don't realize how big of a space this is. Hundreds of miles, over 100 miles of shoreline trail. Or shoreline, not trail, but shoreline. And you can go there even on a busy weekend and never see another soul if you're willing to pick your spot up a canyon somewhere, which sounds like what you guys did, although you moved around a little bit. Tell me about the process in renting the boat, and I know that Gail was probably in charge of that. but what size of a boat did you get?
We got a 46-footer. It was pretty reasonable. I remember it came in around $3,500 for 7 days. It was really kind of a whimsical thing. My wife was upset that our vacation was canceled. We were going to Mexico. And she goes, someplace the family could go because we're all off together. You know, we thought, well, the motorhome somewhere. And everywhere you go, you're going to run into people. And I says, what about Lake Powell? And it was just a genius idea. And so we just Googled Lake Powell and called the first number. It wasn't like we did a lot of research. And they go, yeah, what days? Yeah, we got one available on a bullfrog. And so that was it. It was done.
Yeah.
It was that simple.
Well, I'm looking at a 46-foot expedition or a 46-foot Voyager, and the prices are pretty close to the same. For 7 days, $2,400 or $2,500 bucks, right around there, depending on whether you want to go to Wawweep or Bullfrog. That's peak season. But let me tell you, my favorite time, and I think it is the best time of the year to be Lake Powell, is actually October. When everybody else is gone, the weather has the temperatures have cooled down, but the water temperature is still up. And you can find some even better deals. Save yourself as much as $500 on the two boats we were just talking about. They start at 46 feet. How many does that boat sleep?
Well, we never slept in the rooms. I think we were the lower end one. We had two what they call staterooms. But basically, you just take the mattress out of them because the boat's hot. And you don't want to run the air conditioner. It makes no sense. You got to let it cool off and the gas. So, you know, I sleep up on the rocks. And the kids, they all slept down on the boats on the top deck. And that's kind of how you do it. And the nights are pleasant and the stars are epic. As humans, we forgot, you know, I'm an old guy, so I kind of remember, but the stars are just so fabulous at night.
Yeah.
And then and the cool air, you know, if cool air comes in, and by morning, you got a sleeping bag over you because it's cool enough that you need it. And it's just the best. I mean, it's the most relaxing sleep, and you got to do it. I mean, Lake Powell is so beautiful. You can find anything you want there. We put in at Bullfrog and then went south. We were in Escalante Canyon. We were at Llewellyn Canyon. There's just a lot of canyons. I can't remember, Lake, Iceberg. There's a lot of canyons. And you just drive up and find yourself a quiet spot and put the anchors out, and it's like, you know, a floating hotel.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, so they start at 46 feet, which is what you guys went with. They go up to 75 feet, and I have my last experience was on a 75-foot houseboat down there, which is the biggest individual or personally owned or privately owned boat you can have on the water. 2,400 square feet of cabin space. Now, my kids were raised in an 1,800-square-foot home. But the 75-footer actually accommodates up to 16 people, six staterooms, all with queen beds. It's got a convertible sofa with a double bed. It's got a convertible dinette with a double bed, three bathrooms, hot tub, flat-screen TV, satellite. I mean, you name it. And some of these even have slides off the back so the kids can play that way. But that one, obviously, is going to be pricey. It's $15,000, I think, for a week. if you do it during peak season, and about half of that if you do it between, what is it, August 21st and December 31st. So talk to me for a second, though, about preparation. That, to me, was the bigger part of making these trips work. You have to have enough ice. You have to have enough food. And what we did is we assigned people meals. So you only had to cook breakfast one day out of the seven. You only had to cook dinner one day out of the seven. And you got to relax the rest of the week. But having enough snacks and sandwich meat and bread and water, I mean, all of those things will keep you busy.
You know, Tim, I'm pretty good at it. I've got a lot of experience of taking large group places. But I did every meal. The menu was perfect. We laminated it, put it on the wall. There was never any question about what we were having and what we were eating. I put on weight like I tend to do on vacation.
I mean,
the meals were unbelievable. I mean, we had like tri-tip burritos and shish kebab and then breakfast, you know, sometimes there were pancakes and eggs, and sometimes we just went with salmon and bagels and oatmeal, you know.
Yeah.
And it kind of, we moved it around a little bit based on our travel time. Like sometimes we wanted to get out early and eat breakfast as we're floating, you know, which was totally easy. It's just the best family trip you could take.
It really is. I mentioned at the top of the show that it's been a decade since we were there. My kids, who are now in their 30s, still talk about that being one of their favorite and most memorable trips. And I'll tell you, no better way to see Lake Powell than from a houseboat as you're making your way along some of those gigantic red cliff walls. They look so much bigger from the water up than they do just going by.
It's the only way to go, Tim. It really is. And yeah. I can't think of a houseboat that doesn't have a slide off the back, you know?
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
yeah, it's just epic.
Yeah, let me give you a website if you want to look at pricing. LakePowell.com is a good place to start. That lists all the resorts and marinas. They've got all the dates. You can click on each houseboat and decide for yourself what you need as far as the number of people and amenities that you're really looking forward to. Ours, by the way, had a hot tub on us, which you just pump in the lake water, and then it takes a little while for it to heat up. We actually left the water cool, and the smaller kids were swimming in it like a kiddie pool up on the top deck of the boat. It is a fantastic time, and in this year, 2020, what a great way to get away from everything. All right, Navi, we need to take another break, so we'll do that. When we come back, we will talk with Andrea from Alta. They're getting ready to start their summer activity. Speaking of getting away from it all and getting away from the heat, that conversation is next.